Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we are going to be talking about bullying, but bullying in mass, not just bullying in schools, which we will discuss a little bit, and bullying in workplace and things. But we're also going to talk about how society bullies whole groups of people. For example, we have a mass incarceration problem where 96% of the people that go to prison do not get a trial. They're just put in prison and they say, you know, they plea them and book them. And the problem is that the public defenders have over 500 cases that they do a year. They often don't even know the client's name until right before they have to go into the courtroom. And the way it works is the prosecutors, the public prosecutors, are really funded. So it's very lopsided. So these people are told that you can fight it and you'll end up getting 20, 25 years, or you can take a plea and get 3 to 5 years. And then they're told they're going to lose because they don't have anybody defending them. So all these people are going to prison. I think that's a form of mass bullying of whole groups of people. And also when it comes to our child foster care system, where children are abused en masse. So what's going on there that we can be a society that is the worst in the world, or 8 times more than other developed nations? So what's going on mentally in the minds of people and our politicians, who it doesn't make sense, because from both sides of the aisle, you would think you'd want to solve, especially our mass and children issue too. It costs so much to society. The problems that just permeate through society and the cost that's associated with that when you are abusing people. But not funding public defenders is a cost to the system. So when you look at, from a Republican standpoint, who want to be tough on crime, being tough on crime isn't being tough on people who didn't commit a crime, or who's a 15-year-old that happens to be in the car with his older brother, or not following the Constitution where they don't get a public defense. We're into freedom and our Constitution. And that's what the conservatives and Republicans stand for. And being a fiscal conservative, it's a lot more expensive to put people in prison for 3 to 5 years than it is to give them a proper defense. Surely, if you have 96% of the people going to prison, that would be cut in third. Can't even imagine it not being, if you're actually defending people. Also, the people who do go to prison, who likely would never go to prison again if they just could have a chance at a life, they end up being lifetime prison attenders. And think of the cost of that. From a cost standpoint, it doesn't make sense. From a freedom constitution standpoint, it doesn't make sense. From the Democrat side, wanting to take care of communities and claim that they are, you know, the bleeding heart liberal and care about people. Well, obviously, this doesn't make sense. So I have no idea what's causing us to abuse people en masse. It makes no sense. So we dive into some of those issues. And then we also dive into cyberbullying and other things. And we bring on David Schrank. He's a licensed therapist and a behavioral. He's the CEO of a company that goes in and helps in federal prisons. And he goes into schools and all sorts of places to help people try to cut through all this bullying crap and figure out what's festering in the culture that's causing people to be bullied. Yeah, you're always going to have the one-off crazy kids that are going to bully people. But what happens when a whole culture is like that? What happens when we bully people en masse? That also happened with this election. I think all sides are feeling it. During this election, Republicans are feeling it a lot from Democrats. They feel like they're being bullied by them. If they don't agree with them, then you can't even talk about stuff. I know my kids can't talk about anything. And Democrats, the same way, they've always felt like they're being bullied. So everyone's feeling it now. So what's going on? And you can't say that we're just being tough on crime, or, you know, people need to get over it and, you know, stop being babies. It's one thing if I'm being told I'm an idiot online or whatever. I'm a public figure. It's another thing when private citizens and people are thrown in prison and not getting their rights. It's also another thing when we're 8 times worse than other developed countries, when we're so out of whack with other countries. You can't point the finger and say we're just a bunch of babies. No, there's something fundamentally wrong going on here. And why? Why are we bullying people en masse? So we're going to start with just talking about some of the generic issues with bullying, and then we're going to dive into what I'm talking about now, which is my passion. As you can tell, it's something that after covering many, many shows on this, it's become kind of my side passion on how we can treat people so awfully. And I just don't understand it because it doesn't make sense to me. Sure, certain people make money on it, but from a political leadership, no side of the aisle should be for how this is set up right now. It makes no sense at all. But so let's get into the interview with David Schrank about bullying. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Hi, how are you doing?
Good. And I thank you for coming and joining us and talking to us about bullying and society at large. I know you speak at prisons and you speak all over the country on this. So can you tell me how serious of an issue is bullying in our country?
It is incredibly serious. In fact, it's although so much work and media attention has gone into it, the issue has not improved at all because most of the ways of targeting the issue and working on the issue have been quite ineffective. It either comes down to programs that are excessively structured that people are not able to maintain, or programs of people saying, well, let's just be nice to one another, and this doesn't end up being a reality. And it's become a consistently ever-growing issue that has not been reduced.
Well, some people think that we have a soft society and that we are doing people a disservice by focusing on bullying. Is there truth to this, or is the problem worse than people realize?
Well, for one, people need to learn how to respond to social issues and social stress. There are some that might, parents especially, who might be too easy on their children and not allowing them to have a little bit of a thick skin, because in society there's a lot that goes on. So either way, you need to have some ability to respond to the stressors of society, but at the same time, much of what goes on goes above and beyond that because of how much there is social media and through various other angles that people really need to learn how to respond to it and not just be assumed, but not have it be assumed that they should be able to deal with it. There's a lot of kids who are not learning how to respond to issues in society and become more and more susceptible to their feelings really being hurt. And by that, they then become this open sword that, when not handled appropriately, when this goes on and on, you end up with an issue like Columbine or any various mass shootings that we've had, or suicide. So clearly there is still an ungodly issue there that needs to be attained to. And again, we have not had many experts come who have the appropriate resources and ways of handling it.
Well, I want to dive into some of the society problems at large when we talk about mass incarceration and how we mass bully people and what psychologically causes some of that. But before we get into that, what type of bullying in general have you seen, and what kind of trauma does it cause? And I know you've seen probably all types of bullying, but what kind of trauma does it cause?
It's I don't know if you can come down to types, but it's trauma across the board in how people respond to how they feel. And that once a person has been severely traumatized, they have less and less ability to respond to outside stress without it having such a strong impact on them that they are not able to function in society without creating more and more of a problem. Therefore, you have a tremendous amount of people who don't know how to respond to very mild problems that they run into, and it causes such bigger problems down the line because their responses are just that. They are so poor that they don't have the ability to do what any person should, which is to regulate themselves, and find appropriate ways to keep going forward. And when you have those extreme blockages in a person's personality, it leads to various types of problems for both themselves and for others.
Well, has there been more bullying lately during this election season, now with the country being so divided?
Absolutely.
And what kind of bullying are you seeing? Is it just like Democrats against Republicans? You don't agree with us, so yeah. Or is it also racism type things? Or what are you seeing? Is it overblown? Go ahead.
It's everything across the board. Racism, especially, has become increasingly more evident because people feel that they clearly have the ability to speak their mind, and I think it is perfectly fine for a person to speak their mind, but not at the it shouldn't be at the risk of someone's color or someone's background being put down. You can speak on what societal issues you do and don't agree with. That is definitely your right. But this has gone way above and beyond into a color thing, in my opinion, where there's a lot of white nationalists who now believe that should be the only thing that runs this country. And this country, in my opinion, is meant to be highly diverse, and it's taking away that ability to show diversity.
Well, my daughter, my husband's from Mexico, and he's an American citizen, but they're, my kids are Hispanic, and she plays hockey, my daughter. And this is the first time over the last year where she's had, well, that I remember, I suppose they live with being Hispanic, but that she's been told to go back over the border, and she's been different comments that I've never been said, that we just, like, wow. Yeah. it's been different. And I'm actually pretty conservative in the way that I think. I'm more independent. I'm very independent in my political spectrum. But, a lot of I'm a business person. So I relate to a lot of those things. But I'm not okay with my daughter having comments like that said to her. So it's a new development that I haven't seen before. So I think there are some things that are happening.
No, it's clearly true, and my wife happens to be half black, and we have not experienced changes as much, but I can see others that I have known of in the past who've had reactions to my being married to someone who's half black, having even more of a reaction now, because that is the consensus that's have been happening a lot, feel all the mobility to shed or to show how they feel, or to jump on the bandwagon of others because they think, why not? It's cool to do it now. And as soon as you have an environment where it's cool to be racist, there's a significant problem, in my opinion. We should be very open to all those of the varying backgrounds. It's what makes society a lot more interesting.
Well, yeah, and I have a problem with the fact that you can't be, this is why I have a problem with the Republican Party or how they're viewed, is that you can't be conservative fiscally. You can't agree with all of their, with kind of how they want a smaller government, how they want to run things, and without being accused of being a racist. And that that bothers me because that's completely a separate issue.
Yes, that is clearly true. It's become very much an all or nothing. Both sides have really become an all or nothing. And I also am very much a moderate. There's a lot of aspects of both political parties I feel very strongly about, and and being in the middle of the political system has put me in a disadvantage in many ways, because you people are pulling so hard from one side or the other, based on how great that divide has become. The divide is so impressively strong. I think impressive should be around bad word. So insanely strong that if you aren't on one side or the other, neither side wants you, because they feel so strongly about their side, about pulling people to their side and not considering the other side.
Well, yeah, it's a horrible situation right now. But okay, let's get back into the bullying thing. Have you been bullied quite a bit in your childhood when you were growing up?
Yes. Between being a person who stutters and having several learning differences, I was a huge target for bullying all through my childhood, yes. From the age of grades 1 through 6, it was definitely most intense and continued on until almost until college. But it, you know, yes, my experience was highly intense of having been both verbally and physically bullied.
Well, how does it affect a child for life? What you experienced and what others experience.
So, from a personal standpoint, I had no ability to respond to it, because it destroyed my self-esteem so much. Eventually, I was in schools where it wasn't happening as much, and went through a tremendous amount of psychotherapy, as well as training in martial arts. I was able to work through much of the trauma that occurred in therapy while building myself up in training, and that provided me the ability to finally respond to it and to have the tools I needed to rebuild myself, and I did fully. The unfortunate thing is the amount of people who go through life without rebuilding themselves, and that ends up in either their suicide or hating the world so much that they do something very rash, or they stay simply in a state of mind, even into adulthood, that the world is fully against them and that they should just stay in a hole. I've seen it time after time after time again, where the same kids who were severely bullied end up having real issues integrating into society in adulthood, and they're on this disability because they don't have the tools to respond to any stress in society. Stay home all day, they're not able to function in life and so on, and ends up being a drain on the financial central taxpayer system because of what they have endured. And it takes quite a bit of time of working with these individuals, which I have done, to rehabilitate them and bring them back to being able to work and being able to function in society. Those that I've worked with have had an exceptionally positive response, but there are hundreds of thousands more that have never had someone who understood kind of work with us and bring them out of that, and therefore stay on the Medicaid system because they don't see life being livable outside of the cocoon that they have developed to protect themselves, because society is just too scary for them.
Well, how prevalent of a problem is it? Is there, you said hundreds of thousands. Do you have a statistic on how many people they think might be going? It's hard, isn't it? Yeah.
I did, yes. Because it ends up going into so many other things, into extreme obesity or into extreme anorexia and other eating disorders. The stats don't stay at bullying. It stays at the various other effects that it becomes. And I would venture to bet that that most of those in eating disorder programs and many of those who never go into the working world and are stuck on the Medicaid case system are the result of extreme trauma, and much of that started out as bullying in some way. But in terms of finding a statistic, I've looked various times, and it's hard to pinpoint one down because quite a lot of people I've worked with who've been so severely bullied don't want to verbally admit that until you get further and further into in therapy with them. So they're never going to check mark off that they've had this experience because they're trying to hide the fact that it happened. There's a lot of quite a lot of shame associated with this because people, while society assumes it's not a problem, so those who've been through it so severely want to hide the fact that they have had this experience.
So are there institutions and environments that almost promote or encourage bullying of people?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that the jail and prison environment does, because there's such, whenever you have such a distinguishing difference between but staff to people who live there, but law versus community. Anytime you have a strong change in power, or power in one person's hands but not in another, you end up, bullying is bound to occur. It's unfortunate, but it's almost a guarantee. But especially in the jail environment, you have a tremendous amount, because those who are locked up are considered not to have rights, and although they have the ability to, they have the ability now more than ever to do more, they still don't have rights inside of being locked up, and therefore bullying is a huge thing that occurs, even at times with correctional officers who aren't trying to, but are just trying to maintain the status of their job, and maintain the status amongst other correctional officers. But any institutionalized environment is guaranteed to have level of bullying go on at any time that power is given to someone. It normally will translate in some way to those who are under them being bullied, just by the response of how people do so poorly with having power in hand.
A lot of people can't handle power, and then they turn it into bullying if they think somebody's weaker.
Correct.
Well,
or even
go ahead.
Just because they think they can, and I mean, I've seen those who specifically try to a lot, and others who have no idea that they're giving off the behavior bullying. I've spoken to lots of people who really treat a lot of people very badly and had absolutely no connection to the fact that they did. there's so many people who are raised in this way or that way, or go to training programs to act in a certain way, and they just follow along with what they believe they're told to do and have no connection to the fact that they are really hurting others by acting in that way. When you get so predisposed to looking at what you're doing and doing it in a certain way and lose contact of the effects you're having on others, it can very easily occur without having any connection to the fact that is occurring. And that's also an issue in society with people being so absorbed in themselves and what they think, and not being aware of the feelings and responses of others.
Well, I recently did a show on mass incarceration, and mm-hmm. one of the, well, there's a lot of disturbing elements about it, but 96% of people don't even have a trial, and they, you know, it's part of our Constitution, because you can't, you're assumed innocent until proven guilty, but they don't have enough money to hire attorneys. And if they go against the system, they have a chance. If they settle, they can get 3 years or 5 years. But if they go against the system, they're going to get the max of 20 years. And that's what they're threatened. And the people who are assigned to defend them have 500 or so cases a year. They often, not often, like pretty much all the time, don't see the case until that day of court, look it over, and figure out a way for them to settle. So the whole system, in a way, is bullying these people. And it's happened before, like the Nazis doing it to the, you know, to the Jews. And so why do people allow themselves to get into some kind of environment where they hurt people in mass, even though they know, I mean, you should think they know that it's just not right.
Yes, well, I believe that there are two major factors. One is that it is much easier to go with the flow than to change an entire system, especially when changing an entire system may have the potential to get you fired, and you just won't want to keep your job and keep getting paid. People are very motivated by money and keeping their jobs, and it becomes much harder to try to make a major change, especially if someone has spent some time to talk to their supervisors about making a major change, and they've been shut down. They just continue to do what they're doing because it is just the way to maintain their job. Even if they are not happy in their job, they still simply want to get paid. But two, when you have a system that's so broken, it would require going back and creating an entirely new system, which very few are willing to do. I think it's also why a lot of, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but some, well, some, I'm sorry, some lawyers I've talked to actually did leave law to go and start lobbying. However, I think it's very few and far between that any lawyer is going to leave a better paying job for one that may not pay nearly as well through some nonprofit in order to make a difference. And unfortunately, there's a lot more people in society who want to at least continue maintaining their livelihoods and step out of the button box to really make a major change and take the risk that their livelihoods can change.
Well, I'm even more perplexed by our politicians because, okay, the Democrats profess that mm-hmm. they care about, you know, people who are they tend to care about society and people. And Republicans profess to care about, you know, they want to be tough on crime, but they care about the Constitution. They care about They care about cost, which is this is extremely expensive to put people in prison, you know, versus just giving them a fair trial is cheaper than putting them in prison for 3 years. So fiscally, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense from a freedom constitution standpoint. It doesn't make sense from how you treat people. So all sides and all political parties should be against this. So I just don't understand.
But at the same time, I think politicians, especially the higher they go, are good at sitting on issues and not moving.
Well, they're not serious. Nobody's serious about this. Otherwise, it wouldn't be sitting because all sides should be against it and nobody cares. And so, and it's such a serious issue. Everybody's full of crap.
Pretty much. I would fully agree with you.
This is something that makes me mad because
it's unfortunate to say. Yeah.
It's one thing about being tough on crime, on people who really deserved, you know, that we need to rehabilitate and we need to do something about. It's another thing when you're wrecking people's lives forever or you don't get a fair. Now, imagine, Mr. Senator, who's sitting there, imagine if your child didn't get a fair trial. They don't get to go to trial at all. They just get put in prison because the police officer and the system just says they did it, regardless whether they did or not. There they go. And now they wouldn't be okay with that. I wouldn't be okay with that.
Of course. Yeah. And the reality is, even being tough on crime is a very conservative-based response because the more people you have incarcerated, the less likely those same individuals are to be able to have success living on the streets, and especially in terms of gangs. People think that you can just take gang members and throw them in jail and it'll stop it. Actually, gangs get stronger when they're in jail and come out into the community when they're released as a stronger entity than how these individuals went in. So actually, the jail and prison system accomplishes the exact opposite of what it's designed to. It causes so many more problems based on how it is currently being run now than I could ever possibly see. It's incredibly disturbing to see how severely more messed up people come out and how much more drawn to crime they are when coming out.
Well, can you imagine?
Based on the experience they have while they're in.
Well, imagine you don't get a trial, 96% don't. Mm-hmm. They feel that they're being systematically abused by society, and they are. And when they're in, they have to pay, they have to buy their own coffee, they have to buy their own toothpaste, they have to buy their own shoes, and they're being charged considerably more than you would be outside, you know. They're charged like 5-10 times more for whatever they have to purchase, but yet they're getting paid, they do work inside, and they get paid like 10 cents an hour, or whatever they get paid. So they're being abused and taken advantage of. They didn't get a trial. Now they're inside, if they have half a brain, they're all realizing these people are a-holes. I hate these people. And so they have no incentive to listen to them. They're also treated like crap when they're in there. So they come out going, screw you. You know, and
That's exactly correct.
Right? So
that's exactly right.
How could you possibly be rehabilitating anybody? They just see it's us against them. The power structure is, it doesn't care about us, so I don't care about them. And they can, you know, I need to survive, so I'm going to do my drugs because at least the drug money is providing for my family because whatever you've provided isn't working.
That's correct. That's exactly right. And it's amazing how many people involved in drug dealing I've talked to who really don't want to be doing what they're doing at all, but it's the only way they have to take care of their family because they can't find other jobs. And at times I do challenge that because there are jobs out there, but it's amazing how, at least from their own perspective, a lot of individuals feel that at least they're able to put food on the table while trying to find honest work. But until they have honest work and are able to maintain honest work, they're going to do what they have to do to make sure their family has food, their kids are fed, and have clothes.
Well, and I don't.
And at times, I have a hard time challenging that, because although I'm not going to commit illegal crimes, but I've never been in that boat to have to. But I do know that I'm going to make sure that my kids have food, water, and clothes no matter what.
Well, yeah, everybody, that's your most important thing. And if I was being abused, exactly. I tend to not be too authoritative. You know, I'm a little bit anti-authoritative. Mm-hmm. And if I was in a situation where people were treating me like this, I don't know. I could totally see how all this stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I don't understand is when our rates are 8 times more than other developed countries, why it's not just such a red flag and this neon glowing light. Why it's not embarrassing for our country's leaders. It's embarrassing. But beyond that, why they don't see it as a problem, you know, that, well, we're just tough on crime. Well, you got to get past that, because you got to be smarter than that and look at this stuff. This isn't being tough on. This is being stupid and being inhumane. Mm-hmm. If you're religious, it's awful. I mean, everything I can look at, the only thing I can think of that they say is tough on crime, but you're looking at that in a bubble, because if you are religious, you care about people. If you are if you care about the Constitution, then this would never happen. If you have fiscal concerns, this would never happen. If you care about society, this would never happen. So from every single angle. So I'm going to get off my soapbox here. It's one of those things that just really make me angry, because there's one thing about,
understandably so,
there's one thing about putting people in that really are criminals and things. And it's another putting people in that are a 15-year-old that happened to be in a car with his older brother and has never done anything wrong.
Yep.
Those things are
absolutely true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
So, okay, well, let's move on. Let's move on to something that's as disturbing, I guess, the child incarceration in the foster care system. And in these environments, children are sexually abused at least 50% more of the time. I mean, it's just a huge problem. Now, how do they get? You know, when it comes to sexual abuse, I know there's sick people out there, and it festers in the system, and we don't tend to clean it up or care about these. I mean, I know there's so many people in the system that care, and they just feel helpless. But the fact that it can go on in mass. What's going on mentally with people that allow, you know, that's a form of bullying as well. We just kind of throw away these children. So what's going on in people's brains where they go along with some, and, you know, discounting the sick people who molest children, those people, they're kind of in a separate category than the ones who just kind of go along with the bullying of these kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the system is so broken in so many ways. When you look at DC alone, there are so many families whose kids are being taken away, and having to find some home that has passed the tests for foster care to put other kids into their homes. It is amazing the numbers of families who are parents who are unable to care for their children. And when saying unable to care, I mean kids who have gotten none of the basics, whose parents are spend 80% of their time intoxicated and have no ability to care for a child at all. The numbers are staggering as to how many parents are in this boat, and then this system trying to find homes to put these children into, and it becomes almost such impossible feat to find enough homes that are stable enough, because a lot of these foster homes have the same things happening in them as the homes that the kids are being taken out of. It really needs an entire overhaul of new resources, new everything. And actually, this is one of the areas where I don't have as much of a solution yet, because it's trying to find such better environments where the communities at large have such incredible problems going on in them, where you might have two kids that are placed well and 15 others that are placed in absolutely terrible environments that somehow pass with whatever tests are passed in the house, that they're able to make their house look right for a day. And the rest of still the time, all these kids are being abused to no end. It is sickening to beyond anyone's imagination. When I saw just the extent of how the D.C. foster care system works, it made me more nauseous than anything else.
Well, what are some specifics?
I mean, there are various areas.
What are some specifics about Washington, D.C.? Because I did a show on the foster care system, and that's really bad in Florida and other places. But what's going on in Washington, D.C.?
I mean, it's all over.
Yeah, it's bad. But what did you learn about
that? I learned that there needs to be ways of taking kids out of D.C., that all of them, of D.C. really needs to be improved in a whole variety of ways. And I've been in D.C. for too short of a period of time to get enough of a sense of what needs to be improved. But from that perspective, I go back to exactly what I've seen in Trenton and Philly and Baltimore in cities where there is a very, very high crime rate, and where there are just a tremendous amount of community and societal issues going on. And what I can only bring it back to is that there really needs to be a lot more invested the right way into urban communities. And by that, I don't mean money thrown out to whomever says they can do something. Being money put towards organizations that have been proven to make a difference, or really have that incredible heart to make a difference, that can make more and more change throughout the community, and not just go to whomever is involved in government who can throw money whatever way they want. It's amazing the amount of funds I hear being invested into different communities. But the community doesn't get that money. It goes to people who already have money.
Well, now, how did we get here as a society? Because other developed countries don't do this to their people. And if we're a developed nation of compassionate, caring people, you don't treat people who have less than you in these ways. Mm-hmm. We don't abuse whole groups of people, and we care about our communities. So what happened that we have denigrated to the lowest in the world when it comes to caring for our poor and people, and these people are abusing? What's going on?
I think there are so many who who work in communities. I've worked with so many people who are absolutely who are amazing and will do anything to change and help the community. So many activists, so many social workers, therapists, case managers, so many incredible people who will do anything to make positive change. I've also seen a lot that put up the illusion that they really want to help and set up agencies to help and just want to make money. There's a lot of money to be made in mental health if you do it in a dishonest way. And as much as I've seen those who really care and really want to make that difference, I've seen as many who just want to make a profit and say they're doing something good, but aren't monitoring the services to see that good is being done. And when you aren't watching closely, you miss the fact that so much is being done so badly. In several organizations I've worked at, I've been one manager working my butt off alongside others who are doing almost nothing, and that's not an uncommon thing.
They're just there making money and milking the system.
Yeah, and they just don't care. Exactly. And you really have to have more people who really care that much to make that change, to make that difference. And again, there are a lot. I've worked alongside people who will give anything to make positive change, and they're a dream come true to work with. I've been in touch with many of them, from Trenton to Philly to Baltimore to more, but numbers I've met in D.C. who are amazing. I love working alongside of. But I've also met quite a few that I just shake my head, because they may have had that care at some point in time, but that care is gone. It's in burnout, or it's in just wanting to get paid and not be bothered.
Well, I don't understand our politicians, because I understand that it can be a really complicated issue. But when it comes to like the mass incarceration, where they're just simply not funding the public defendants, they just aren't funding it. I don't get it. That's just, we're not giving people the right in their constitution to fund public defendants, save money on the other side on prisons and costs to society. It's really a simple thing. I realize it's not all. There's more complication than
that.
But that's a simple solution to dealing with a lot of these problems. There still will be problems.
But even with that, I mean, the amount of public defenders I've met who did exactly what you were just talking about before, who don't see their clients until the day of going.
Well, they don't have a choice.
And can't get junk done.
They have 500 a year. That's the average. They don't have a choice. How could they possibly defend people? It's not their fault. I don't even know why anybody would even want. I don't know why anybody would even want to do that job, because they'd be completely helpless.
That is valid. Yes. Yes. But even been with it, I've met some who work to no end to help their clients, and many others who are just totally burnt out and have given up.
Well, how can you do 500 cases a year and not get burnt out? I mean, they need
that
to.
That is very true.
They need to. Yeah, it's. They need to fund
completely accurate.
They need to fund it and save money on the prisons and our communities, and it will come out way ahead, money wise, community wise, and every situation wise. It won't solve 100% of our problem. Guaranteed, it won't. Mm-hmm. It's more complicated than just that, but it'll solve a lot, and it'll save us money, and it's at least a solution.
Yes,
it makes
true.
Me so mad.
I agree with you.
Because every side of it's a nonpartisan issue. It just drives me crazy. So, okay. Let's move on to something else because I can go on and get angry because I've done a lot of these shows and I just, and the more I learn, I just am, just boggles my mind. Okay, so let's talk about cyberbullying because I think that is an area that is going crazy. Is it easier for people to bully online? I know the answer to this, but is it easier and does it have worse effects if things go viral?
Oh, cool. Cool. Of course, yes. This is cyberbullying is the hardest area to defend against because there's just you can put anything out, anything so easily anonymously, and so cyberbullying is the biggest open area to do as much damage to a person who has low self-esteem as possible, which, like any other form of bullying, I always say, it's not what person is doing to you, it's how you respond to it. And you really have to work on the person, the victim, to not be a victim, to be in the survivor mentality, to keep it from affecting them. In order to combat the issue.
Well, now it's one thing if somebody says a comment about me saying I'm a fraud or I'm an airhead, and this woman's she should go back to just tweeting, you know, whatever. That's one thing because I'm a public person, but. Mm-hmm. It's when a private person, a child or somebody, they take a video or whatever of in a compromising situation and then that goes viral and you didn't do anything. You're not putting yourself out there. That can be devastating. They don't know how to deal with that.
Yes. It becomes that much more when everyone starts to talk about the one comment that came out, and it just becomes the most public thing, especially if you're in high school, if you're in junior high, and you're based on the views of others, your whole self-thought, self-perspective is based on the views of others. It becomes the most destructive thing for a person to make one comment that everyone jumps on, hears, and reads and laughs at and comments off of.
Yeah, because it's really destructive for a child. They don't know how to. Whereas when bullying is happening one-on-one in school, I would think it would be much easier to deal with, although that's not easy to deal with, than all of a sudden you got 300 people laughing at you.
Yep, it's the truth. And cyber just takes it even bigger to 500, 2,000, 200, 1,000.
I suppose if it goes viral, Okay, so what do you do? What's the best course of action for yourself if you're being bullied in a workplace or something, or the child? Is it you just remove them as soon as possible from that environment or yourself? I mean, sometimes you can't.
No, often you can. It's a matter of not doing things that will fuel it to happen more. If it's a social thing, I say to respond to it, to combat it, and to when you combat it in a very confident way, and go right at the source, it tends to fizzle out much faster because bullies go for the easy to the target. They don't go for a hard target, almost never. Online, it's a matter of ignoring it and working on yourself so you're not emotionally hurt by what you saw on there, and having the most positive response to it you can in order to show that it's not having that effect on you. It's not having the effect, and it will normally fizzle out much faster. If you type back to it and you respond to it, add to it, it will just continue to explode out. It's almost like the polar opposite when you're in person than when you're online.
It's terrible. Okay, well, what do people do in prison? Because I can see how defending yourself by getting into a group and you know, why the gangs get stronger, because then it's like us against them, and they become, it's self-empowering and keeping your ego intact and things. So how do they deal with it constructively? I mean, they're not going to be listening to the show, but what do they do? What do people who are running these things, what can they do to make sure that these gangs don't get stronger and they're dealt with? It's actually a rehab center and not just a training center for drug lords and gang members.
Yes. They, in prison definitely is harder, but what they need to do is pull, to separate those that are in these groups, so they have less contact with each other. The more they pull apart, the less of them, and the more that they have to defend themselves and not their whole group, the weaker that group gets, and you want them to be more on their own than as a group, so you can work on each individual person with hopefully various services, or bringing in outside service providers like myself or my team that can come in and work with various people and give them other options than to keep them together inside the prison where they just get stronger and stronger and stronger.
So now, do you help federal? I know you help federal prisons. What other groups do you help?
We help all. We're in schools, we're trying to work with government to change and improve things. We're in whatever environment will accept us in and accept help from us. We try to be around a lot, and we're trying to change the thought process of many.
So how can people reach you and learn more about your work?
Feel free to, my apologies, my daughter has just walked in here. Feel free to call the main number, which is 240-565-2558. Again, that's 240-565-2558. You can find us online at www.ebtsvcs.com. Again, that's ebtsvcs.com. Or email me, well, email us at info@ebtservices.com, or on my email address, which is david.schrank@ebtservices.com.
Well, I'll put that up on the radio page so people can go to the page and get all that contact information. It is also, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll have it up scrolling across the screen so people can get it there as well. So thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate the insight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome, and have a great day.
Much. You as well, sir.
And that's all we have for today. I want to encourage you to go to sarahwestall.com to get all of his contact information. Like he said, he goes into federal prisons, schools, other community areas to help with bullying type problems, to create a culture that can actually create healthy community people, which obviously if we are having the issues that we're having across our country, there's something seriously wrong, and we can't turn a blind eye and just say we have a bunch of babies in our country when we have 8 times the rate that other developed nations have when it comes to incarceration. When it comes to children being incarcerated, we're at astronomical rates too, far beyond other developed nations. I've done a lot of shows on this. So we are really out of whack, and it's time to take a step back, entrench, and figure out what the heck is going on, because the cost to society long term is astronomical. It's absolutely astronomical, and it's like we are wasting away at our core, and we have to take it seriously. So I want to encourage you again, go to my website, sarahwestall.com, get that information from him if you are in a position to be able to make a difference that way. And in closing, I just want to say have a wonderful day.